Upstart Radio.
Upstart Radio.
It's a brave new world.
It's a brave new world.
Upstart Radio.
It's a brave new world.
Produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed. We have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men. Cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world. Millions of despairing men, women, and little children. Victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle, you are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate, only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world. That will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason. A world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
I tried hard to be proud of my service, but all I could feel was shame. And racism could no longer mask the reality of the occupation. These were people, these were human beings, I've since been plagued by guilt anytime I see an elderly man, like the one who couldn't walk, who we rolled onto a stretcher and told the Iraqi police to take him away. I feel guilt anytime I see a mother with her children, like the one who cried hysterically and screamed that we are worse than Saddam as we forced her from her home. I feel guilt anytime I see a young girl, like the one I grabbed by the arm and dragged into the street. We were told we were fighting terrorists. The real terrorist was me, and the real terrorism is this occupation. Racism within the military has long been an important tool to justify the destruction and occupation of another country. It has long been used to justify the killing, subjugation, and torture of another people. Racism is a vital weapon employed by this government. It is more important weapon than a rifle, a tank, a bomber, or a battleship. It is more destructive than an artillery shell, or a bunker buster, or a Tomahawk missile. While all those weapons are created and owned by this government, they are harmless without people willing to use them. Those who send us to war do not have to pull a trigger or lob a mortar round. They do not have to fight the war, they merely have to sell the war. They need a public who is willing to send their soldiers into harm's way. They need soldiers who are willing to kill and be killed without question. They can spend millions on a single bomb, but that bomb only becomes a weapon when the ranks of the military are willing to follow orders to use it. They can send every last soldier anywhere on earth, but there will only be a war if soldiers are willing to fight. And the ruling class, the billionaires who profit from human suffering, care only about expanding their wealth, controlling the world economy. Understand that their power lies only in their ability to convince us that war, oppression, and exploitation is in our interest. They understand that their wealth is dependent on their ability to convince the working class to die to control the market of another country. And convincing us to kill and die is based on their ability to make us think that we are somehow superior. Soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen have nothing to gain from this occupation. The vast majority of people living in the U.S. have nothing to gain from this occupation. In fact, not only do we have nothing to gain, but we suffer more because of it. We lose limbs, endure trauma, and give our lives. Our families have to watch flag-draped coffins lowered into the earth. Millions in this country without health care, jobs, or access to education must watch this government squander over $450 million a day on this occupation. Poor and working people in this country are sent to kill poor and working people in another country to make the rich richer. And without racism, soldiers would realize that they have more in common with the Iraqi people than they do with the billionaires who send us to war. I threw families onto the street in Iraq, only to come home and find families thrown onto the street in this country, in this tragic and unnecessary foreclosure crisis. We need to wake up and realize that our real enemies are not in some distant land. They're not people whose names we don't know and cultures we don't understand. The enemy is people we know very well and people we can identify. The enemy is a system that wages war when it's profitable. The enemy is the CEOs who lay us off from our jobs when it's profitable. It's the insurance companies who deny us health care when it's profitable. It's the banks who take away our homes when it's profitable. Our enemy is not 5,000 miles away. They are right here at home. If we organize and fight with our sisters and brothers, we can stop this war, we can stop this government, and we can create a better world.
Went to bed in this little shack kind of thing, and one of the guys in the group, he was an editor from back east, and he wakes up, and it was really hot and stifling, so he goes outside. It's still dark out, sun hasn't come up yet, and he's sitting on the front steps of the shack, and he feels like somebody's watching him. And he turns around, there's these two little Haitian kids. So he beckons to them, you know. talking, but he's got a notebook and he's drawing pictures and they're doing hand signals. The kids say something to each other and they nod and smile and they grab him by the hand and they say, you know, come on, we're going to take you somewhere. And they start dragging him off down this path into the woods. And the guy gets a little bit worried, you know, like, where the hell are these kids taking me? And they take him up the path. They're going up the side of this hill. And the guy, he was very honest. He was a white guy. And he said all this racism that he wasn't even aware was in him started to come out. Like, oh, my God, they're going to take me and put me in a big pot. This racism... going up the side of this hill, up this path, and this guy is starting to freak out. This guy is starting to freak. And he says, just as he's like so scared that he's about to break away from him, the kids stop. And they turn him around, and they face him east. And the sun was just breaking the horizon at the end of that valley, and all the shafts of sunlight were shafting into the trees, and all the songbirds were coming to song. And he said it was the most beautiful experience of his entire life. And he looked down, and these two little kids were looking up at him with these huge smiles on their face because they knew what they just gave him. These kids didn't have shoes. They didn't have real pants. They had rags on. They had no material wealth, and they reached out across the entire class structure of the planet to a guy from the top of the pyramid, from their position at the bottom, and they touched his heart in a way that changed his life forever. That guy will never be the same. When he told us the story, we all cried, right? Now, if those little kids who are not literate and have no material resources can do that, we can change the world. We can end hunger, we can end war, we can end environmental destruction. It's not as hard as it sounds. We can change
Play the record.
We are living through another day of information.
Today, the Supreme Court of Chief Justice John Roberts, in a decision that might actually have more dire implications than Dred Scott v. Sanford, declared that because of the alchemy of its 19th century predecessors in deciding that corporations had all the rights of people, any restrictions on how these corporate beings spend their money on political advertising are unconstitutional. In short, the First Amendment, free speech for persons, which went into effect in 1791, applies to corporations, which were not recognized as the equivalents of persons until 1886. In short, there are now no checks on the ability of corporations or unions or other giant aggregations of power to decide our elections. None. They can spend all the money they want, and if they can spend all the money they want, sooner rather than later, they will implant the legislators of their choice in every office, from president to head of the visiting nurse service. And if senators and congressmen and governors and mayors and councilmen and everyone in between are entirely beholden to the corporations for election and re-election to office, soon they will erase whatever checks there might still exist to just slow down the ability of corporations to decide the laws. It is almost literally true that any political science fiction nightmare you can now dream up, no matter whether you are conservative or liberal, it is now legal. Because the people who can make it legal can now be entirely bought and sold. No actual citizens required in the campaign fundraising process. And the entirely bought and sold politicians can change any laws. And any legal defense you can structure now can be undone by the politicians who will be bought and sold into office this November or 2 years from now. And any legal defense which honest politicians can somehow wedge up against them this November or 2 years from now, that can be undone by the next even larger set of politicians who will be bought and sold into office in 2014 or 2016 or 2018. mentioning Lincoln's supposed ruminations about arresting Roger B. Taney. He didn't say the original of this, but what the hell? Right now, you can prostitute all the politicians some of the time and prostitute some of the politicians all the time, but you cannot prostitute all the politicians all the time. Thanks to Chief Justice Roberts, this will now change. Unless this near-mortal blow is somehow undone, within 10 years, every politician in this country will be a prostitute. Be prepared first for laws criminalizing or at least neutering unions. In today's court decision, they are the weaker of the non-human sisters, unfettered by the court. So, as in ancient Rome or medieval England, they will necessarily be strangled by the stronger sibling, the corporations, so that they pose no further threat to the corporation's total control of our political system. Be prepared then for the reduction of taxes for the wealthy and for the corporations, and the elimination of the social safety nets for everybody else, because money spent on the poor means less money left for the corporations. Be prepared then for wars sold as the new products, because military-industrial complex corporations are still corporations. Be prepared then for the ban on same-sex marriage and on abortion and on evolution being taught and on separation of church and state. The most politically agitated group of citizens left are the evangelicals. Throw them some red meat to feed their holier-than-thou rationalizations, and they won't care what else you do to this corporate nation. Be prepared then for racial and religious profiling, because you've got to blame somebody for all the reductions in domestic spending and civil liberties just to make sure the agitators against the United Corporate States of America are kept unheard. Be prepared for those poor, dumb, manipulated bastards, the Tea Partiers, to have a glorious few years as the front men, as the corporations that bankroll them slowly unroll their total control of our political system. And then be prepared to watch them be banished, maybe outlawed, when a few of the brighter ones suddenly realize that the corporations have made them merely the Judas goats of American freedom. Be prepared for the little changes, too. If there are any small towns left to take over, Walmart can now soften them up with carpet advertising for their Walmart town council candidates, brought to you by Walmart. Be prepared for the Richard Mellon scapes to drop such inefficiencies as vanity newspapers and simply buy and install their own city governments in the Pittsburghs. Be prepared for the personally wealthy men like John Kerry to become the paupers of the Senate, or the ones like Mike Bloomberg not even surviving the primary against Halliburton's choice for mayor of New York City. Be prepared for the end of what you're watching now. I don't just mean me, or this program, or this network. I mean all the independent news organizations, and the propagandists like Fox, for that matter, because Fox inflames people against the state. And after today's ruling, the corporations will only need a few more years of inflaming people before the message suddenly shifts to, everything's great. Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh don't even realize it. Today, John Roberts just cut their throats, too. So with critics silenced, then bought off, and even the town assessor who lives next door to you elected to office with campaign funds 99.9% drawn from corporate coffers, what are you going to do about it? The Internet! The Internet. Ask them about the Internet in China. Kiss net neutrality goodbye. Kiss whatever right to privacy on the net you think you currently have goodbye. And anyway, what are you going to complain about if you don't even know it happened? In the new world unveiled this morning by John Roberts, who stops Rupert Murdoch from buying the Associated Press? This decision, which in mythology would rank somewhere between the bottomless pit and the opening of Pandora's box, got next to no coverage in the right-wing media today, almost nothing in the middle, and a lot less than necessary on the left. The right wing won't even tell their constituents that they're being sold into bondage alongside the rest of us. Why should they? For them, the start of this will be wonderful. The Republicans, the conservatives, the Joe Liebermans, the Tea Partiers are in the front aisle at the political prostitution store. They are specially discounted old favorites for their corporate masters. Like the first years of irreversible climate change for the conservatives, the previously cold winter will grow delightfully warm. Only later will it be hot, then unbearable, then flames. And the conservatives will burn with the rest of us, and they'll never know what happened. What are you going to do about it? Turn to free speech advocates? These were the free speech advocates. The lawyer for that homunculus who filed this suit, David Bossie, the lawyer is Floyd Abrams. Floyd Abrams, who has spent his life defending American freedoms, especially freedom of speech. Apparently, this life was spent this way in order to guarantee that when it really counted, He could help the corporations destroy free speech. His argument, translated from self-satisfied legal jargon, is that as a function of the First Amendment, you must allow for the raping and pillaging of the First Amendment by people who can buy the First Amendment. He will go down in the history books as the Quisling of freedom of speech in this country. That is, if the corporations who now buy the school boards which decide which history books get printed approve, if there are still history books. So what are you going to do about it? The next 9 men and women on the Supreme Court will get there not because of their judgment, nor even their politics. They will get there because they were appointed by purchased presidents and confirmed by purchased senators. This is what John Roberts did today. This is a Supreme Court-sanctioned murder of what little actual democracy is left in this democracy. It is government of the people, by the corporations, for the corporations. It is the Dark Ages. It is our Dred Scott. I would suggest a revolution, but a revolution against the corporations that make all the guns and the bullets? Maybe it won't be this bad. Maybe the corporations, legally defined as human beings, but without the pesky occasional human attributes of conscience and compassion, maybe when handed the only keys to the electoral machine, they will simply not redesign America in their own corporate image. But let me leave you with this final question. After today, who's going to stop them? Good night and good luck.
Oh, my God. That looks like a second plane.
What possessed you to come blundering in here like this? Could it be an overpowering interest in ours?
To make sure that terrorists never, ever again can create this mayhem, this chaos, this violence against our people and our country.
You're a foul, sorry little bitch!
Oh my God. That looks like a second plane.
This is developing into a very bad habit.
Die, 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 pig, die.
Now let me see, what is it you call your job? Oh, it's public relations. Sounds like something pretty dirty to me.
We have just seen the first war of the 21st century.
Play the record, play the record. Play the record, play the record.
The last one. Well, they'd made up their minds to be everywhere, because why not? Everywhere was theirs because they thought so. They with two leaves, they whom the birds despise. In the middle of stones, they made up their minds. They started to cut. Well, they cut everything because why not? Everything was theirs because they thought so. It fell into its shadows and they took both away. Some to have, some for burning. Well, cutting everything, they came to the water. They came to the end of the day, there was one left standing. They would cut it tomorrow, they went away. The night gathered in the last branches. The shadow of the night gathered in the shadow on the water. The night and the shadow put on the same head. And it said, now. Well, in the morning they cut the last one. Like the others, the last one fell into its shadow. It fell into its shadow on the water. They took it away, its shadow stayed on the water. Well, they shrugged, they started trying to get the shadow away. They cut right to the ground, the shadow stayed whole. They laid boards on it, the shadow came out on top. They shone lights on it, the shadow got blacker and clearer. They exploded the water, the shadow rocked. They built a huge fire on the roots. They sent up black smoke between the shadow and the sun. The new shadow flowed without changing the old one. They shrugged, they went away to get stones. They came back, the shadow was growing. They started setting up stones, it was growing. They looked the other way, it went on growing. They decided they would make a stone out of it. They took stones to the water, they poured them into the shadow. They poured them in, the stones vanished. The shadow was not filled, it went on growing. That was one day. The next day was just the same, it went on growing. They did all the same things, it was just the same. They decided to take its water from under it. They took away water, they took it away, the water went down. The shadow stayed where it was before. It went on growing, it grew onto the land. They started to scrape the shadow with machines. When it touched the machines, it stayed on them. They started to beat the shadow with sticks. Where it touched the sticks, it stayed on them. They started to beat the shadow with hands. Where it touched the hands, it stayed on them. That was another day. Well, the next day started about the same, it went on growing. They pushed lights into the shadow. Where the shadow got onto them, they went out. They began to stomp on the edge. It got their feet. And when it got their feet, they fell down. It got into eyes. The eyes went blind. The ones that fell down, it grew over and they vanished. The ones that went blind and walked into it vanished. The ones that could see and stood still, it swallowed their shadows. Then it swallowed them too and they vanished. Well, the others ran. The ones that were left went away to live if it would let them. They went as far as they could. The lucky ones with their shadows.
Support comes from support for
United Airlines. United provides
support for NPR
in cities like Boston, New York, and Washington, D.C.
Underwriting today is provided
United
by
Airlines, Books and Music,
Jutus, Juice Bar Blend, and by Whitney Farms, producers of a complete line of
public
radio.com.
United provides just another way. National Business Radio is rising. National Public Radio.
National
Business Radio.
Comes from
United Airlines.
Borders, Books, and Music.
Jutus, Juice Bar Blend.
United provides just another way. National Business Radio is rising.
Public Radio.
National Public Radio. Nonstop Business
Radio.com.
Public
Radio.
Nothing fair in this world, there's nothing safe in this world, there's nothing sure in this world, there's nothing pure in this world. It's a nice day to start again, and it's a nice day for a white wedding. Hey little sister, hey little sister, who's the only one? Hey little sister, who's the one you want? Hey little sister, shotgun. It's a nice day to start again, and it's a nice day for a wife. I've been away for so long, so long. I've been away for so long, so long. And it's a nice day to start again, and it's a nice day for a white wedding. There's nothing fair in this world, nothing safe in this world, there's nothing sure in this world, there's nothing pure in this world. It's a nice day to start again, and it's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again, it's a nice day for a white wedding.
It's a brave new world.